Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. Welcome this day to the second step of our Lenten journey. We come with great hope and expectation as we walk the way of Christ. Today's journey will demand much of us. Lord, make us ready to offer ourselves to you. Come, let us begin the wondrous excursion. Let us place our lives in God's abiding love. Amen.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. God be all else to me, say that thou Thou my best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, Thy presence I
our affirmation of faith. We believe in God, Father, Creator, who gives us steadfast love and shares with us our joy. Our God sustains us in our weakness and empowers us with His strength. We trust Him. We follow Jesus Christ, God's Son. His death is our victory. His resurrection is our hope. In Him, the Word became flesh. In Him, we find forgiveness, renewal from failure, reconciliation from brokenness, and release from despair. We're saved through Him. We're guided by the Holy Spirit, God's presence in the world. That same Spirit calls us to be the church, to celebrate love, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen. We're empowered through Him. We are disciples, pilgrim people. We joyfully covenant to walk together in love, to live in fellowship, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from the 22nd Psalm, verses 23 through 31. You who fear the Lord, praise Him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor Him. Revere Him, all you descendants of Israel. For He has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden His face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise Him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before Him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and He rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before Him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve Him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim His righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, He has done it.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of men, You were here before the world began.
I'm forgiven because You were forsaken. I'm accepted, You were condemned. Spirit is within me because You died and rose again.
Crucified, laid behind the stone, You lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, You took the fall.
Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what You're worth.
King would die for me.
If you have your Bibles this morning, join me as we read our scripture text from the 8th chapter of Mark, verses 31 through 38. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." He said, "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. History is filled with examples of women and men who, by throwing away their lives, gained life eternal. Late in the 4th century, there was a certain monk who had made up his mind to leave the world and to live all alone in prayer, meditation, and fasting so that he could save his soul. And this was his only goal, but in doing this, he felt like there was something wrong or missing from his life. One day, as he rose from his knees in prayer, it suddenly dawned on him that his life was based on a selfish, not a selfless, love for God. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever wondered if your faith is here to serve your needs and interests only, or to serve the greater good of all people? Anyhow, this monk came to the conclusion that if he was really going to serve God, he must serve others. So he said goodbye to the desert, and he headed for the greatest city in the world, Rome. And there was still an arena in Rome, and there were still the gladiator games. Christians were no longer being thrown to the lions, but instead they had to fight and kill one another. And the crowds, they loved it. It was like redneck NASCAR, March Madness, and college basketball for them. This monk found his way to the arena. There were 80,000 people there. The chariot races were ending, and there was an excitement in the crowd as the Christians prepared to fight. And the fight was on, and this monk, he was appalled. People for which Christ died were killing each other just to amuse the crowd. So he leapt over the barrier, and he got between the two fighters. And for a moment, they stopped fighting. "Let the games go on," roared the crowd. And they pushed the monk aside, and again, he got between the fighters. The crowd hurled stones at the monk, and they urged the fighters to kill him and get him out of the way. And the commander of the games gave an order, and the gladiator's sword rose and flashed, and the monk lay on the ground dead. Immediately, the crowd was silent. They were suddenly shocked that a holy man should have been killed in such a way. We might say they had become convicted. Suddenly, there was a mass realization of what this killing really was. The games ended abruptly that day, and they never began again. That was the end of it. The monk, by dying, had ended them. One author writes, "His death was more useful to humankind than his life was." By losing his life, he had done more than he could ever have done by living it out in lonely devotion to the Lord in the desert. God gave all of us life to spend and not to keep. If we live always thinking of our own gain, ease, comfort, and security, if our single aim is to make life as long and as trouble-free as possible, if we make no effort except for ourselves, we're losing life all the time, and not in a good way. But if we live our lives for others, if we forget wealth and comfort in order to do something great for Jesus and for others, we are winning all the time. In our gospel lesson for this morning, Jesus makes his first prediction of his upcoming trial and death. And when Peter hears this, he thinks Jesus is insane and needs to have an exorcism. And we're told that Peter took Christ aside and began to rebuke him. The word for rebuke is the same word used in the Bible to silence demons. Only a few verses back in this chapter, Peter confessed that Jesus was the Christ. And apparently Peter had a definition of the Messiah that was different from Jesus' own definition. Peter wanted Jesus to be sort of a Jewish Caesar. This kind of Messiah would call his disciples to position, power, privilege, power, and prestige. Yet Jesus is talking about suffering and dying, and because of this, Peter tries to set Jesus straight, but Jesus will have none of it. Jesus comes back at Peter with the same intensity that Peter had aimed at Jesus. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Confronted with the necessity of suffering, most of us react exactly like Peter. In a painkiller culture, it's hard for us to understand suffering, even for the right reasons. But Jesus gives us the challenge to think like God thinks, not as we human beings normally think. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus' healing miracles and Jesus' compassion for the crowds at the feeding miracles make it clear that God does not delight in human suffering. The disciples were sent out to heal as well as to preach the gospel. But the danger lies in thinking that suffering and sacrifice are always to be avoided. We Christians often think that if we just pray enough, God will remove all trials from our lives. A family with a drug-addicted teenager might be pressured to pray harder and the kid will come around, rather than pray for the strength to care for their child and to find the right treatment and the support that they need. Prayer indeed is very important in healing, but prayer is an opening up of ourselves to what God wills, not an exercise in forcing God to do our will. And that's what discipleship or following Christ is all about as well. A disciple must take up the cross, must be willing to lose his or her life, and must not deny Jesus when confronted by co-workers, family, and friends. The picture of the condemned criminal carrying the cross to the place of execution should form within us a shocking requirement for discipleship. Our human standards can't come close to explaining the necessity of this kind of commitment to the will of God. Commitment to Jesus brings persecution because this world is contrary to God. We can't expect the gospel of Jesus Christ to match our own desires and the demands for our own world. The gospel was not formulated for the convenience and the comfort of those of us who preach it to others. We Christians are called to deny self. We don't have to invent some fancy form of persecution complex in order to live this kind of life. The gospel itself calls us to deny self in order to be more like Christ. Being a follower of Christ isn't a prestigious job. Our physical lives are rarely in danger, but our own desires and our own whims certainly are. A Disciples of Christ minister, the late Fred Craddock, pointed it out this way. "We think that giving our all to the Lord is like taking out a $1,000 bill and laying it out on the table. Here's my life, Lord. I'm giving it all. But the reality for most of us is that God tells us to take that $1,000 bill down to the bank and cash it in for quarters. We go through life putting out 25 cents and 50 cents here and there. Giving our life to Christ isn't glamorous, but it's done in all those little acts of love, 25 cents at a time. God gave us life to spend, not life to keep. It's a rock song by the band Def Leppard that screams it out best. It's better to burn out than to fade away. What would happen to life if everyone had just wished for nothing but to comfortably stay at home and there had been no such thing as an explorer or a pioneer? What would happen if every mother refused to risk bearing a child? What would happen if everyone spent all they had on themselves rather than on others? The very essence of Christian life is found in risking life and spending life, not in saving it and hoarding it. Jesus says, whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? It's better any day to burn out than to rust out. Christ's followers are called to literally say no to self. We must say no to self and yes to Christ. We must say no to self-seeking and no to self-will. We must be able to say with Paul, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Can you say that this morning? As Christ followers, we no longer follow our own will, but the will of Christ. And in doing this, we find perfect freedom. Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me, for the gospel, will save it. If each day we could go out of our house with only one of these sentences locked in our hearts and dominating our lives, it would be far more than enough to be a Christ follower. Jesus never tried to lure anyone to him by the offer of an easy way. He sought to challenge us to awaken the boldness and the moral courage in our souls by the offer of a way that could not be any higher or any harder. Jesus came not to make life easy, but to challenge us and challenge us to greatness. What a way to live. It is the way to live. Let's pray this morning. Oh, God of love, power, and faithfulness, we journey with your Son ever closer to Jerusalem, to his cross, his true destiny. We hear his words, take up your cross and follow me, but we aren't sure if it's the crosses of this life or the actual cross of death. We hear his words, deny yourself, and wonder which self it is, and the self we put on for others or the self-centered self that wants it all for ourselves. Whichever it is, it seems like Jesus sure is asking a lot of us, and we aren't sure we can do this. God, we will need your Holy Spirit to be able to do this. God, we will need your grace and your mercy to be able to do this. We remember that you empowered your disciples, the early Christians and others who decided to follow you. And we believe that you will do likewise for us. We pray these things in the name of our blessed Jesus, your Son and our Savior who taught his disciples to pray the model prayer in saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
In the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Just give me Jesus. When I am alone, tonight, I'm alone. Oh, when I am alone, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. When I come to die, oh, when I come to die, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. You can have. Just give me Jesus.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.